Hello, listeners. This is Sarah Safransky, Social Media and Collaboration Manager at CDM Media. Today, I am speaking with Patrick Pusher, CTO and founder of CloudChronicle.com, a website that features cloud news as well as weekly podcasts. CloudChronicle.com is a CIO Cloud Summit event partner. Patrick is an experienced virtualization and cloud computing professional based in Canada. Welcome, Patrick. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you.
There is a lot of talk around what sorts of applications and workloads transition to the cloud more easily than others. Are there any guidelines to follow in this regard?
Yeah, I think rather than talk about specifics, maybe let's chat about different models of consumption that lend themselves well to cloud computing. Edward Westenhoff wrote a really great article you can look up on cloudbook.net entitled Top 10 Things to Consider About Cloud Services. And in it, he outlines four different usage patterns that are really good fits for cloud computing. It's not to say these are the only ones, but these are sort of the low-hanging fruit that are sort of no-brainer fits to run in the cloud. And so there's four of them. The first one's called high growth, where, you know, the classic example of this is a web services company that starts and, you know, needs a really low cost of entry, doesn't want to maintain a data center themselves, but they fully expect they'll need to scale out very rapidly once their service, gains some traction. So that's high growth. The next one is sort of an on-off usage pattern. So if you have periods of business where your compute needs are very minimal, with a cloud strategy, your infrastructure-related costs sort of scale down with your needs. So you don't pay for a full data center when you don't need it. It's kind of a pay-as-you-go model. So an example of that might be, you know, a boutique consultancy that does piecemeal work. And the last two are really around bursting, so sort of surge needs, right? Unpredictable bursting where, you know, example like that might be a news organization who responds to, you know, world events. First thing that comes to mind is, you know, maybe the crisis in Japan around the earthquakes and tsunamis. They likely would have a lot more video footage to process in an event like that. So, you know, they know they'll have burstage needs, but they don't necessarily know when. So, and then the last is a sort of a regular bursting, and the classic example of that is sort of, a tax prep office. I think of H&R Block, perhaps, where, you know, 4 or 5 months out of the year, they know they're going to have high compute needs, and then outside of that, it's more manageable, more predictable. So those four sort of usage patterns fit very well into the cloud, but certainly, you know, as I said earlier, it's not that others can't as well. There's still some challenges, I think, technically, too. You know, companies that do a lot of work that requires heavy disk I/O, that's still a challenge in the cloud. The market's addressing those things, I think, through some clever software and definitely some back-end infrastructure, you know, solid-state disks, for example, that cloud service providers are adopting. But I think that's, you know, those are generally pretty decent guidelines to think about, will my workload run well in the cloud?
And do regulated industries represent special challenges in the context of cloud computing?
They do. I think generally regulations focus around either data sovereignty or security, and both needs are being addressed, I think, today in the market. But I think in general, it'll take a bit of time for adoption to occur. National cloud service vendors or platforms are debuting, and their goal, I think, is really to ensure that the data of their customers will remain within the borders of their country. And just as importantly, it will be hosted by a company owned and operated within that country. And then on the security front, you know, one of the regulation-related issues is that processing can't be done in a shared environment, which sort of is inherent to cloud computing, right? We've seen service offerings debut this year that can help in this regard. Amazon debuted a feature where, you know, you can be guaranteed that your computing instances stand alone and won't be shared with others. It does break down the multi-tenancy notion of the cloud somewhat, and in turn, you know, eats a bit into the value proposition of what cloud computing really is all about. Because, you know, as you can imagine, the cost of a service like that is significantly higher. But I really do see that as a temporary measure until regulations are sort of refocused and updated to match this evolving landscape of how we procure and how we consume compute resources.
And now on to the private cloud versus public cloud debate. Is private cloud computing, that is, where the infrastructure supporting the cloud is dedicated to and in the control of the host organization, able to solve some of these problems around data sensitivity more appropriately than public cloud computing?
I think that the private cloud model does have the opportunity to address some of those issues, but it does feel like a stopgap measure to me. I think the security argument, you know, that people point to, whether it's, you know, private cloud is more secure than public cloud, I think it's largely one of perception. That is really because perimeter security around one's infrastructure is taken out of the hands of the organization and it's trusted to a cloud computing service provider. there tends to be concern because of that lack of control and visibility. But, you know, in my opinion, at least, that concern is turning out to be largely unfounded and academic to a degree. You know, we haven't had a significant security breach that was the fault of a infrastructure as a service provider yet this year, you know, knock on wood. I'm definitely not saying that will never happen. It, you know, definitely will. But my point is that these organizations know that security is concern number one of their customers, and they really do treat it with significant focus. They know they're under the microscope, and I think they're doing a definitely a decent job at that. But what some organizations appear to be doing is treating cloud computing like some sort of silver bullet that, you know, will sort of automagically address all of their infrastructure concerns. And, you know, to me, that's a pretty dangerous approach. Keeping services updated, patching servers, developing disaster recovery plans, they're all still very prudent strategies, you know, regardless of whether you're running in your data center or you're trusting a public cloud provider. So the questions you ask, I think, are still the same, whether, you know, depending on whether you're running in a traditional data center or using the cloud. It's just the answers and the strategies are a little bit different.
And are there any more non-technical barriers to cloud adoption?
I think the biggest non-technical barriers are around perceptions and misunderstandings of what the cloud can and can't deliver. You know, we've alluded to some already, but I think that in the case of enterprise IT, there are some entrenched people that are very skeptical still about influencing their organizations to begin looking at the cloud. And I think some of that's legitimate. Some of it is probably, you know, partial ignorance, and then some of it is job loss concern, to be fair. And Gartner published a figure earlier this year stating that 20% of businesses will own no IT assets by 2012. I think, you know, if you skim that title, it can sound pretty damning to an IT department, but really I think it speaks to technology and not people. You know, skill sets will shift, but I think smart people who work in security management or reporting, for example, will always be needed, right? It's just like the virtualization wave. I think cloud is set to build a whole new ecosystem of tools and capabilities that will need planning and management, and of course that needs people in your IT force.
Again, I was just speaking with Patrick Pusher, CTO and founder of CloudChronicle.com. Thank you again for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thanks, Sarah. Anytime.